Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I'm just so incredibly grateful. We've been meeting like this on the phone every week. I still have to look and see when we started, but I think it's been like going on, possibly going on 9 years now, which is kind of incredible. So before I share the page references, and actually, I just have one quick announcement. So earlier today I was like, oh wow, we really are almost to the end of the text because we're at the end of chapter 31. I have a feeling we'll be in this chapter for maybe two more weeks after this, after our session tonight. Maybe, could be three, we'll see. It just depends on our discussion. And my overwhelming guidance is that next we will read the cameo essays in the CE. Now, for those of you who might not have the CE, which is the purple book, the purple cover, it's totally fine. You can just listen. The incredible thing, and some of you have commented on this, the incredible thing about reading these essays is how practical, how incredibly practical some of this backstory is and the guidance that Helen and Bill were asking about. I have found it incredibly relatable to my own life, and I can't shake the guidance. It just is like, this is what you're reading next. So again, for anybody who doesn't have the CE, you can just listen when I'm reading. I promise you're going to love it. And if you do want to get the CE, again, it's the complete and annotated edition. There's a Kindle version, which is the cheapest, obviously the print version. And if anybody can't afford, if anybody's in need, I did ask the Circle of Atonement, and how awesome that I just got a text back 5 minutes ago. So if anybody is in need and you don't have the funds to pay for a purple book, they have, the Circle of Atonement has done a collection for people who can buy books. They have books for people in need. So if you would like one, email me and I can get you in touch with the Circle, with my friend Emily. They're only able to ship for free in the United States, by the way. So that's my announcement. Again, we'll be here in this chapter for at least two more weeks, I think, if not three. So let's go ahead and begin with a brief meditation. Just shifting your attention from out there in the world to within. And by the way, just as I begin, if my line gets choppy at all again, please do let me know. And if anybody is not on mute, please do mute your line by pressing star 6. I can always mute for you. I'm hearing an echo. Thank you. All right, so turning attention within. There is a quiet, still space within you that has gone unchanged for eternity. It's gone unchanged despite our dreaming. This quiet, still space within you is always there, even if you're in the midst of intense anxiety or intense emotion. This quiet, still space dwells deep within you. It's where our true identity lies. It's where our peace is and our happiness. And our task is simply to be willing to seek out and find all the blocks that we've built to our awareness of this love within. And we have a mighty companion, capital M, capital C, the Holy Spirit who is with us, waiting for us to call on him. So in your mind, just imagining that you turn to the Holy Spirit as we all turn to this same deep space within. offering our willingness. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. Trusting that all things work together for good. Our path home is guaranteed. And we are not without comfort and guidance as we walk this journey without distance. So bringing your attention to this time and space. And we're going to resume our reading where we left off last week. If you have the CE edition, please go to page 919, paragraph number 5. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, please go to chapter 31, part 7. Paragraph 5, it begins with the sentence, "Have faith in him who walks with you." If you have the Sparkle edition, it's page 720, and it's the last full paragraph, or it's the last paragraph on the page. And last but not least, in the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 31, part 7, paragraph 71. So here we go. Now, actually, before I read, just kidding, not going to start yet, I just want to mention that we've been reading in this section, just to do a really brief recap. How do I recap this? It talks about learning being change. Elsewhere in the course, it talks about how change is actually fearful to the separated ones because we always perceive it as a step away from God because change was our first experience of separation. So we tend to not like change. But learning means change. And changing concepts is salvation's task. So thinking of ourselves differently, thinking of our brothers differently, expressing love. This is how we come to have our concept of our lowercase s self fall away to be replaced by what is first another concept when we are starting to open our spiritual vision to what the Course calls the real world. In the real world, we still experience ourselves as a concept, but this is not a concept that's been made for ourselves alone. And so we love it, and we just truly, truly can join in that space. The real world doesn't grow dim. It doesn't have lights that go out. It says that there's nothing there that but shines and shines forever. And so this self-concept that we are learning how to release for this other concept of the self to be replaced is still concepts. Ultimately, we can go beyond all that to know the truth of who we are. So we're going to begin with paragraph number 5. And just a reminder, if anybody can mute your line just for background noise by pressing star 6, that would be great. And I can always mute people from my end if I need to. Thank you so much. All right, have faith in him who walks with you so that your fearful concept of yourself may change. Now, I have to pause here immediately. In context, we are talking about your brother when it says have faith in him. Typically, we think of him being the Holy Spirit, but in the context of what we've been reading, having faith in your brother who walks with you so that your fearful concept of yourself may change. And look upon the good in him, that you may not be fearful of your quote-unquote evil thoughts because they do not cloud your view of him. And all this shift requires is that you be willing that this happy change occur. No more than this is asked. On its behalf, remember what the concept of yourself, which now you hold, has brought you in its wake, and welcome the glad contrast offered you. Hold out your hand that you may have the gift of kind forgiveness that you offer one whose need for it is just the same as yours. And let your cruel concept of yourself be changed to one that brings the peace of God. So have faith in your brother who walks with you so that your fearful concept of yourself may change. Here in this very first sentence, we see that we need our brother. We alone of our own small s self cannot change our fearful concept of ourself. Now, full disclosure, for years, I was doing my work with just the Holy Spirit, and I did not care about my brother because I was suffering, and I had really, I'm joking, of course I cared, you know, about others, but I was predominantly focused on the definition of miracles as being shifts in perception. The equally important definition of a miracle is also an expression of love. So if you're having faith in your brother who walks with you, your fearful concept of yourself can change. So by seeing the light in another, by being willing to see the good in another, that changes your concept of yourself. What we're doing in that space is closing the gap between us and our brother. I love how it goes on to say, look upon the good in him, that you may not be fearful of your evil thoughts. So this is so almost contrary to how we typically think. We think of, like, not being fearful of our evil thoughts, of our, you know, not being afraid of our fearful thoughts. We think of that all as like an inside job, right? Like it's something I have to do. It's something I have to work on. And yet this is saying, look upon the good in your brother that you may not be fearful of your evil thoughts because they do not cloud your view of him. So our evil thoughts, which again are just fear thoughts, they're judgment thoughts, they cloud our view of our brother. And all that we need for this big shift is to be willing to have this happy change occur. No more than this is asked. And this is so key because, again, we're so tempted, I think constantly, to do more than that. We can't possibly just be willing, right? We've got to do more than that. And in a sense, I mean, I feel like I've had to do some digging and some work beyond just, like, declaring that I'm willing. But that's the tiny beginning, that little bit of willingness is all that is needed for this cascade of miracles, this interlocking chain of forgiveness, as the Course talks about, to get that ball rolling. So we should be happy that this new concept of ourself, which is, again, more of the truth about ourselves, is something that we want to welcome to see. And I just have to highlight this next sentence. It's sentence number 6 in the edition that I'm reading from. Hold out your hand that you may have the gift of kind forgiveness that you offer one whose need for it is just the same as yours. So there again, we're hearing another little bit just about how interpersonal A Course in Miracles is, that we heal through our relationships. And I believe that that's not just a relationship, obviously that's not, doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, but it doesn't have to be a relationship, or at least I think it can be a relationship on a much broader level, like for instance how we've been talking so much about racism and healing racism. I think it's a relationship even on a bigger level like that. So I'm going to pause there. I just said a lot. Anybody have any comments or questions so far?
Hi, Corinne. It's Nikki. How are you?
Hello, Nikki. I'm good.
I'm good. I just had another one of those kind of aha things where I was. You were talking about, you know, if you see them with the, you know, like, innocent, in a way, because at first I was like, oh, but people can be, like, I know there's, you know, I always try to see good, but, like, thinking of like maybe like my tenant where I'm like, oh, that chick's trying not to pay me and she made a side deal with somebody else I found out about, things like that. But mm-hmm. then I remember that the last time I gave it to Holy Spirit and it turned out okay. And then I've been thinking about how when I'm on the treadmill, I'm listening to all these things about like Law of Attraction and Neville Goddard and that woman Helen Shovel or whatever her name is. And maybe I'm wondering if a part of that is if you really believe that it's going to be okay, not just only Holy Spirit working with you, but, you know, you're connected more to your Holy Spirit and then you're having that Law of Attraction type thing going on. I don't know. I just kind of saw the connection between the two of them, like just keep believing that it's all for the highest good and it'll turn out that way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And that's important to keep in mind, too, that, like, you know, even if things don't seem to work out okay, it's still in the highest, like, there's still opportunities for growth and learning there. It's still a forgiveness, you know, opportunity. It can still be okay, even despite things not seemingly going okay, you know, on the surface. But I'm glad you made those connections for yourself. That's awesome. Thank you. Was somebody else going to chime in?
Well, I just wanted to ask, where are you reading from?
Carla, hello, my love. which edition do you have?
I'm driving, so it don't even matter. I'll take what you got.
Okay. I'm reading from the CE. We're at the very end of chapter 31. We're just about to begin. I'm one paragraph away from beginning section 8.
Ooh, okay. Thank you.
No. That's 8. Okay, never mind. My Roman numeral, I had a doubt for a moment, but. Mm-hmm.
Thank
Glad
you.
Glad you're here. Oh, okay, let's read the next paragraph. The concept of yourself, which now you hold, would guarantee your function here remain forever unaccomplished and undone. I want to pause and read that one more time because it's saying the concept of yourself right now. So meaning my concept of myself as Corinne, your concept as of yourself as, insert your name, would guarantee your function here remain forever unaccomplished and undone. I'll say more about that. And thus, I'm going to keep reading though, and thus it dooms you to a bitter sense of deep depression and futility. Yet it need not be fixed unless you choose to hold it past the hope of change and keep it static and concealed within your mind. Give it instead to him who understands the changes that it needs to let it serve the function given you to bring peace, that you may offer peace to have it yours. Alternatives are in your mind to use, and you can see yourself another way. Would you not rather look upon yourself as needed for salvation of the world instead of as salvation's enemy? So what we just ended with is like the complete antidote to the first sentence that we read. Because the first sentence in this paragraph is saying that I'm going to use myself as an example, so please apply this to your own name, your own concept of yourself. My concept of myself as Corinne, which I now hold, would guarantee my function here on this earth remain forever unaccomplished and undone. But would I rather see myself as needed for salvation of the world? Of course. And how we get there is by repurposing our concept of ourselves. So it's by saying, Holy Spirit, I give you my ideas of Corinne. I give you who I think I am. I give you I'm giving everything to you, and you show me the way. You tell me. You know what makes me happy. You know what brings me joy. And so, because we came here to experience specialness, what we are given is a special function in the plan of awakening. We are given a special function to bring peace to other minds. We are now here to serve instead of to take. And that's a big, important switch. So this paragraph makes me think, and I'm going to use my dad as an example because he and I had a conversation not too long ago about, he was like, I'm set in my ways and this is how I am. And I was like, well, actually, you can be willing. You know, the conversation didn't really continue that long because he was just happy to stay set in his ways. But if you think about that, are there any areas in your life where you see yourself as set in your ways? Because if you can locate that, if you can pinpoint any places where you feel like you're set in your ways, notice that and say and invite the Holy Spirit, take it to the Holy Spirit, if you're willing to experience a shift, if you're willing to experience a loosening of your self-concept, because that's what this is all about. This pathway helps us loosen our concept of our small s self, so it's helping me loosen my concept of Corinne, so what can rise up in me can show me what I am. What rises up in me can teach me that this is my joy, this is my truth, this is who we all really are. So I hope that that was clear. And if you feel set in your ways, it's great that you can notice that, and that's an opportunity to take it to Holy Spirit. I will pause there. Anybody want to ask a question or share
a
comment?
Karen. Yes.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hi. Okay, so how do I say this? All right, so you know how the Course says that there are people that come into our life that are you know, with us for this whole lifetime, and then the others that come, you know, just for a season and so on. Well, what if you have somebody that's meant to be in your life for a lifetime, and because it's a family member, and and you have a difficult relationship with them, and you you start to feel like maybe you don't want them in your life so much, maybe not completely out, you know, it's not like, I'm wanting to shut the door completely, but I'm like feeling like I want to limit it. But okay, now here's the thing: am I avoiding my own lesson, and should I be allowing the person, even if they continue? Because I don't know, I'm judging when I say they are continuing to be difficult when maybe I'm being difficult. I don't know for sure, because it's my perception that's biased. So I get kind of confused, because I don't know if I'm supposed to, like, keep the door open in order to finish the lesson that I'm being given. You know?
That's a great question. And yeah, that's a really great question. And I'm sure a lot of people are listening, are relating to that question, too. One way to figure it out is, over time, you know, okay, I'm going to speak just from an example where I had a relationship, and everything that I tried to do to keep that door open, to keep, you know, this has got to be about me, it's my forgiveness lesson, I started to feel not good. In many different ways. And I'd kind of like, I got to be a good Course student, you know, like this is about forgiveness and interpersonal relationships and blah, blah, blah. But I continued to feel quite a burden and suffocating in some respects. And so there's, whether you're doing your forgiveness, so what I'm trying to say is that there may be times when it is in the highest good for everybody to have a boundary, to limit contact, to not have just a complete, you know, open door, because we're still on our learning path also. And there are times when a challenging relationship really might not be helpful by putting us into our own zone of, like, too much, you know? So it's perfectly appropriate to have a boundary, to you know, limit contact. The thing is, what are you doing in your mind? Are you, in your mind, if you have a boundary in place, and you're clear that, like, I can't keep doing this. And sometimes we have to get clear because we keep, like, staying, you know. And so we're staying over time, and, like, we start to get – over time, we start to, like, see, you know, this really isn't working. A change has to happen. If we do put a boundary in place, even if it's just a subtle boundary, maybe we don't say anything directly, maybe we do, but we just remove ourselves a bit more – it still comes down to what are you doing, in your mind. Are you judging that person still, or are you continually talking to the Holy Spirit about the relationship? Are you continually still being willing to look at what you might need to look at, even from a distance? So there's nowhere in A Course in Miracles that says you have to stay in any kind of unhealthy situation for healing. And so... does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I get that part of it, but the part that I have the biggest difficulty with is when, so I make up my mind that I'm going to, like, be, you know, work on the forgiveness while I'm taking a step back, and I try to do this taking a step back without, like, making it, an in-your-face kind of, I'm taking a step back, you know, but just kind of try to be as subtle as possible. But then when this person is continually trying to move forward to, like, interact with me, I feel like that in my mind I'm catching myself going, oh, no, yeah, I can't let you do that. And so then I think, am I judging you? You know, because I'm not seeing you through new eyes each day, like, because then I'm reading in the Course that I should be looking at everybody with new eyes, like, what? So I'm taking yesterday with me, and when then I get a phone call and I don't answer the phone call, then I feel like, and then I even get text messages that are, like, meant to be kind of a guilt trip, and then it just plays out. It continues to play out even though I feel like I'm trying to do it in a way that's helpful for me. So then I start thinking, well, maybe I'm supposed to be engaging, and so I try to follow the Course guidance in order to do that, and I just kind of get all confused.
I hear you. It's confusing. It's mucky, muddy territory that we're talking about here. But the thing is, you said something really key, and that is that you're aware, you're questioning, like, am I dragging the past and, like, laying it on the present? You know, am I, like, laying my own thoughts and conceptions on the other person? We all do that always. And just the fact that you are questioning that is a good thing, because we do that all the time. Again, that doesn't mean that you need to have that person in close contact with your life or anything like that, but we do need to look at that. And each time, like, even if you have in your mind, if you've decided, like, okay, I'm going to, you know, take some distance here, and they're sensing that, so they're trying to get in and, you know, pressuring a bit more, I've witnessed examples in my own family. I have some very challenging family members and, you know, some Course students sprinkled in my family. And, you know, sometimes taking it one, like, a case-by-case, as we say, that expression, case-by-case basis, taking it one step at a time, saying, you know, I'm not going to allow the past to intrude upon the present. Like, I'm willing to not lay anything on my brother. Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? And if there's a answer, you know, if there's a feeling, maybe acting from there, and if there's still just that need to pull away, a happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. That's the thing, is that we have to let go of the idea, even, I think, of being a good, quote-unquote, good Course student, because that's a concept, too, that's going to get in our way. Instead, can we allow ourselves to be where we are? And, again, it's always all about turning to the Holy Spirit and talking to the Holy Spirit, and I know you know that. I'm just preaching to the choir. But sometimes
I felt like I got what you were saying when you – because all of a sudden I heard being in the moment for each individual interaction and then
mm-hmm.
following the guidance
mm-hmm.
for that time. That totally
yeah.
makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you. That makes
oh,
sense.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you.
Corinne, can I share? This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. Yes.
I know that everything is divine, and my sister passed away Tuesday morning. And the fact that I'm on this call and I'm listening to the sharing is something I feel like I want to share. My sister and I had a challenging relationship, and yet, just like what you were saying, I continued to hand it over to the Holy Spirit. And there were many times I needed to practice forgiveness, and there were many times I needed to practice boundaries. And I don't know, a couple months ago, well, it was April, everything seems like a couple months ago during this time, this quarantine thing, my sister was down in Florida with another sister, and she suggested that she come to New Jersey and stay with me because she had stayed with another sister and stayed with another sister, and I had to remind her we're in the midst of a pandemic, and my son is working from home, and, you know, so on and so forth, and I cannot explain the divinity that occurred in the last few months. My sister asked me to be her advocate, and I'm in New Jersey and she's in Florida. And then she was calling me her communicator to her nurses. And we became so very close while I was able to help her from afar, to the point of she had nothing lined up. Like, she just, that was the way she lived her life. Mm-hmm. And I was on the phone creating her will, being in touch with the crematorium, being in touch with the hospice center, the respite center, on and on and on. And when I tell you the healing that occurred from following the course, doing what I could to, Holy Spirit, take this, when I was on the phone, and feeling the peace of letting go of my expectations and my sometimes anger, sometimes frustration, sometimes so many things that have occurred in a number of years with me and my sister, and I felt the love. And I've heard so many people on these telephone calls talk about, you know, loved ones making their transition. And I'm in another state, and she's in another state. And I could just, not 24/7, but I could just feel like being centered in love and knowing that this was something that I needed to do and I felt honored to do. I have two other sisters, and the one was there with her. And I'm just so grateful for the course. You know, I was listening to Cheryl, I think was her name, saying about, and there would be calls, and I'd ignore the calls. I mean, the last few months, she would call me during the course. and I said, okay, this is my course call, because I was at a point where I was at peace with saying, I'm going to take this call. It may be the last.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel so much gratitude, knowing that, like you said, you have some members that are course students and some that aren't. My immediate family, yes, but not my extended family. Mm-hmm. And this 8 o'clock call is so sacred to me. It's mm-hmm. just so, I know Paula has spoken about this gets her through the week kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I just want to express my gratitude because I could not have done this. I could not have done what I did and feel the healing and the forgiveness that I felt. My sister would say, Carol, you're so calm. And, you know, I love to hear your voice. And I was able to encourage her to surrender and relax. And I believe that this is such a gift to be part of this journey with A Course in Miracles. I mean, not everybody gets this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people are aware of James Twyman, but I have a CD of his, and it's The Lessons. And it is the most beautiful, soothing messages of the Course. There's so much that this Course has given me. Mm-hmm. And my kids, you know, tell me. They tell me the Course now when I forget it. So I just want to thank everybody on this call from the bottom of my heart because, you know, it's such a healing experience to be able to have something like this. Thank you.
Oh, Carol. I'm imagining that everybody, there's 20 of us in the line right now that we're just all throwing our arms around you and doing a big group hug because I feel the same gratitude that you express, and I feel so moved and so touched by your words just about the healing that you experienced with your sister and just the way that you could show up for her in this time. And what a blessing and what a miracle worker you are. So thank you for sharing, and we're all hugging you and holding you in light and love, and I'm really grateful for this pathway too, because
thank you. And can I
really
just
fortunate.
Say that Deidre was so instrumental for me. She is so very, very gifted. I don't know how many people know that she's just very, very gifted, and she's an angel intuitive. Mm-hmm. And prior to my sister going into hospice, I met with Deidre, you know, virtually, and oh my God, the healing. It's just so beautiful to experience time with her. It just really is. So I just wanted to share that.
Oh, thank you. Deidre, I hope you heard that.
I heard you. I'm here. I love you, and I'm so
proud of
you.
I love you too, Deidre. I love you.
Oh, we love you, Carol. We love you so much. Oh, I feel everybody just holding this space for you, for all of us. Thank you for sharing, Carol. You know, I just want to comment just generally, just also just how grateful I am for A Course in Miracles and for these calls, and to echo what Carol said about being able to show up in ways that you didn't know that you would be able to. Anxiety aside, I mean, that's some of the biggest shifts that I've seen in myself, too, is being able to be there for people in challenging situations. And Carol, I love how you said that your sister said that she loved hearing your voice and noting how calm you are and just really, really holding that light and holding that space for her. And we're blessed to be able to see the fruits of our effort, our work with the Course. So thank you, Carol. We love you. All right. Well, how about we take a nice deep breath. And so I guess we'll read another paragraph then. We will continue on with our core studies. You know, it's interesting that in the CE, this is a new section, but in the other editions, we're still in the same section. So it starts with a sentence, the concept of the self stands like a shield. The concept of the self stands like a shield, a silent barricade before the truth, and hides it from your sight. All things you see are images because you look on them as though a barrier which dims your sight and warps your vision so that you behold nothing with clarity. The light is kept from everything you see. At most, you glimpse a shadow of what lies beyond. At least you merely look on darkness and perceive the terrified imaginings that come from guilty thoughts and concepts born of fear. And what you see is hell, for fear is hell. And all that is given you is for relief. The sight, the vision, and the inner guide all lead you out of hell, with those you love beside you and the universe with them. Carol, you're really present for me right now, and I feel like in your share, just with the healing that you were able to experience with your sister, that this is, like, that's an example of being able to no longer be seeing through that barrier that dims your sight and warps your vision so that you behold nothing with clarity. Instead, when we come from that space of calmness and knowing and love, and when we feel anchored in what is true, we're able to see clearly, and by that I mean we're able to see past appearances. The body's eyes show us images. The body's eyes show us bodies. The body's eyes show us that which is false. The light, the form that we see actually keeps things. It keeps the light hidden. And we can't get out of that through death, because as we know, nothing happens in death. But here, in this lifetime, this is how we're waking up now, by doing this work, by being willing to see past appearances, to hold true to the light that is beyond. And I know this might sound really twisted, but when it says what you see is hell, for fear is hell, there's part of me that takes, like, in thinking about this as, like, there's another spiritual teacher, I maybe have said this before, but I don't remember if it was Muji or somebody like him, it may have been Muji, who basically said that, like, this world that we're in is a slaughterhouse. Like, this is hell. There's no place lower, because fear is hell, and we know how rampant fear can be here. But everything is given to us for relief. The sight, the vision, and the inner guide all lead us out of hell. And this is where, like, Carol, miracle worker, being able to step out of hell and just be in that light with your sister, with those you love beside you, and the universe with them. We, as you heal, you are not healed alone. As each of us experiences any healing, that healing is for all. We all receive it on some level, even if it's outside of our awareness. And this line, with those you love beside you, there is a story, I don't know if this man is still alive, but maybe like 2 years ago, a friend was sending me his Facebook posts, and I don't remember his name, but he had terminal cancer and was basically starting to have death experiences, but he wasn't yet dying, so I don't know if you would call those technically near-death experiences, whether he was in a death process or if it's just like the beginning of a death experience. But he talked about this, I think it was a dream actually that he had. I don't remember if it was a dream or like his experience where it's very vivid when he was describing transitioning to the other side. His wife was there to welcome him. And then he later, you know, came back to consciousness, and his wife is still living in this form. And it was this type of teaching where, like, this is all happening at the same time. And so all of us are with each other always, no matter what it seems like with time stretched out. All this is, like the Course says, time is a trick, a sleight of hand. And so it's hard to wrap our little brains around just, you know, what is all actually unfolding. But that line, with those you love beside you, we don't lose anybody. We're never asked to sacrifice anything. Everyone here is always. And apparently, according to that man's example, we help each other transition, even if we seem to be in a body in this quote-unquote life. I just thought that was so awesome. Anybody want to add anything or ask a question? Ooh, let's read the next paragraph. And by the way, I haven't checked if the paragraph breaks are different or the same between editions, but I'm starting with a sentence, "Behold your role within the universe." Behold your role within the universe. To every part of true creation has the Lord of love and life entrusted all salvation from the misery of hell. And to each one has he allowed the grace to be a savior to the holy ones, especially entrusted to his care. And this he learns when first he looks upon one brother as he looks upon himself and sees the mirror of himself in him. Thus is the concept of himself laid by. For nothing stands between his sight and what he looks upon to judge what he beholds. And in this single vision does he see the face of Christ and understand he looks on everyone as he beholds this one. For there is light where darkness was before, and now the veil is lifted from his sight. And now the veil is lifted from his sight. So I love this first sentence. Behold your role within the universe. To every single one of us, to every aspect of creation, to every aspect, every living thing, the Lord of love and life has entrusted all salvation from the misery of hell. So literally, again, as we heal, we don't heal alone. As we are willing to look to just one brother, it says one brother. This is in the CE, it's underlined. When we first look upon one brother as we look upon ourselves, and we see the mirror of ourselves in him. So as we can see ourselves in our brother, we close the gap between us. We lay concepts aside, and nothing stands between us. And that's where we close this illusory gap, and we recognize that only the truth is true. This is why our brothers are just critical to our awakening, and yet at the same time, just going back to what Cheryl had asked earlier and like relationships, remember that this, it's a journey without distance, but it's a journey. And I love how Carol said, you know, there were times when we were called to draw a boundary. There were times when we were called to go in to a relationship. We're going to be called to do different things at different times, and it's always about asking for guidance. It's always about tuning in this moment. What is best now? What shall I do? What will you have me do now? And there are some times in my own experience, when where I am is maybe so taxed and so exhausted that a boundary is the most loving thing for all of us. If that boundary is just, you know, backing away, or if it's a more formal ending of a relationship. So we have to keep in mind that when we're talking about our brother being our savior, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be called to put boundaries in place in relationships or from time to time, because even though this is a journey without a distance, it's still a journey. So that's all I'll say about that paragraph. I thought that was beautiful. And I love that last line, the veil is lifted from his sight. I've actually felt, sometimes I might repeat myself, and I'm sorry because sometimes I don't remember if it was a thought about sharing it on the call, like a thought that I had 2 days ago, or if I actually shared something on the call. But this sentence about the veil being lifted from his sight, I've had several experiences this summer. This summer has been a very interesting one for me because I've been having multiple experiences of sensing, of feeling, of experiencing that veil getting thin. And what is, I'm bringing the topic now to what I mentioned previously about a program that I have coming up with three other women, where we're going to be talking about race and A Course in Miracles, and it's going to be so good and so healing. There's something just big behind the scenes that is happening and shifting, because more people in white bodies now than ever before are willing to listen and are willing and wanting to in some way, shape, or form be an ally. And this is just all the letter that I had written, everything that's transpired this summer, this sensing of this veil getting thin, everything that's been happening in the world with COVID, like all of it. We're living in a very exciting time, and I'm just so excited for the healing on a super deep level that I believe is happening. It's unfolding now, and that's all I'll say about that. It's good stuff. So I'll announce that training. It's probably going to be happening in October. When we have something official to announce, I'll definitely share. And that's a great place for us to end tonight. So does anybody have any final comments or questions or sharing to do?
I do. I'm going to hold you to that now.
Hold me to what?
But you just said, you know, that everything, you know, going to be okay, type of thing.
Yes. I don't feel like those words are coming from Corinne, so I got to trust them too, because I can go into, you know, doubt myself from time to time, but let's hold to the Holy Spirit.
No, I know. I appreciate you so much for that too. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, John. I appreciate you too. Any other final comments or questions? Thank you, Cheryl.
Corinne, thank you so much for everything that you said tonight. It was all wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Whatever comes out of my mouth is what I need to hear. So this is, I feel like these calls are for me, and it's just a bonus that you all come. No, really, it makes it like family. It's really, really, I know nobody's special, but it's just a special time to be together and to be able to share all this together. All right, so put a little marker in your book, and we will pick up here next week. I see some underlining that I already did, so there's lots of good stuff to come in this reading. So I love you all. Have a great night and many, many miracles and big hugs. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Love you, super, and everyone.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love you, Cheryl. Love you, Paul. Love you, everybody. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Good night.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.